Well, good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday morning, and that means, well, along with the music, it's time for the Berkshire Hathaway bi-weekly podcast. Joining us on the show today, realty expert Berkshire Ben Olson, and we'll be talking with Ben in just a minute.
Look, if you want that home, let's go get you that home. And it's okay to feel a little nervous. Or to not know what to look for. Because our network agents have the expertise to take the scary out of buying a home. Well, most of it. Now, let's go get you home.
All right, and we are back, and joining us in the studio, Berkshire Ben Olson. How are you, my friend?
Doing well, and yourself?
Good, good, good. Been a couple of weeks since we've seen you. Any earth-shattering news happening in your world?
You know, the biggest news that I've heard so far is this week, we're kind of seeing an uptick in inventory across the nation right now.
Okay.
So things are kind of backing away from their peak here that we saw. The lowest amount of homes in the market this summer was 320,000. Across the United States.
Okay, okay.
Right now, we're sitting at about 402,000 homes on the market. So we're kind of inching up there of the amount of inventory that we've had over the last couple months. I think that is just normal seasonal patterns kind of getting back into shape. Mm-hmm. What we have to remember is that last year, around this time, there were still over 700,000 homes on the market. So from this point on, from last year, we are down still significantly from our normal inventory levels.
Okay. Now, do these patterns and trends, is this a yearly thing, or you just kind of go with the flow and see what happens?
So we do see peak buying activity usually in probably April, May, and June.
Okay.
And that's kind of when we saw it this year is our busiest time, was that April, May, and June. And since then, the market has really kind of backed off. Mm-hmm. But I think the biggest indication is that, you know, in the winter, things do slow down. Sure. People do decide they don't want to move in the cold, and that is a big factor. And also, what does happen, too, that I think lots of sellers don't realize when it is so busy, or people don't realize, is that buyers do get fatigued after a while.
Oh, God.
So once you've put in your 20th offer on your 20th different house you've lost out on, or whatever number you're at, and because you're fighting for things, or you're trying to get, or you don't have the right qualifications or whatever else, buyers just say, you know what, I'm taking my down payment money, I'm going on vacation, and I'm going to go do something else with my money until next year, until prices kind of slow down, things slow down in the market.
Sometimes people need a little break or a chance to regroup. I mean, think about it. Like you mentioned, if you've gone to, you know, maybe you've looked at 20 different houses, put offers in, and you keep losing out on it, well, that just keeps kicking you down and kicking you down until you finally got to go, okay, I'm going to take a break.
Yep, yep, and that has happened. I mean, that does happen to people in this type of market. I think that when we're looking at our prices kind of going down a little bit, I know week over week prices have gone up, but this week they've kind of stabled off this year. So I think that's going to make a big difference. And then also just returning to the normal seasonal pattern, you know, there's going to be more homes coming on the market, some leftovers that didn't sell this summer that people are going to get under contract this fall.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've been reading a lot in the news, especially with the pandemic. They had all kinds of forgivenesses and things like that. And this is something with all the Berkshire Hathaway biweekly podcasts that we have, I don't think, ever talked about. And I don't know if you want to talk about it, but you're reading the word foreclosures a lot in the news lately. Is that, are we going to see that happening? Because everybody's saying, let's, you wait and see here in another month, people are going to be losing their homes. I don't even know what to think about a foreclosure.
Well, foreclosures are actually pretty common. So when you think about it, people just don't pay their mortgage and then they're forced out of their home. I think every year, anywhere from like 4 to 6 million Americans go into some type of foreclosure process, which is not unusual. It just is the type of deal it is. Can't pay their mortgage, not paying their mortgage, something like that. And what we see with foreclosures is people can usually get a pretty good deal on some type of foreclosures. You just have to be able to go through the hoops and really understand what you're doing when you're offering on these foreclosures. And so what people don't realize is that when your loan is sold, it can also be sold to the government entities like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Mm-hmm. Well, they have their own foreclosure systems that they list foreclosures on of people who hadn't paid their mortgage that were part of their network or part of their loan system. And so what they do is they actually have a very intricate process of how to actually submit offers. And it's usually a one-shot type of deal. So if you put a foreclosure on the market and it's not getting a ton of offers, basically what happens is that the person who puts in the best offer, the first best offer is usually the winner. So they don't usually negotiate back and forth. Mm-hmm. When they list something, they usually list it to sell. So the price that's on it is usually pretty close to the price people will get it for.
Okay, now do banks or lending services, do they actually call you if they've got a house that's foreclosed on? Do they call a realtor and say, hey, you want to help us get rid of this house?
Yeah, they sure do. I've worked on several foreclosures myself selling them, and it's a very interesting process. One foreclosure that I had needed $6,000 worth of removing trash.
Oh, wow.
But it ended up selling for a really great price. It was like a six-bedroom house out by Cooperstown. Mm-hmm. And it sold for like $20,000.
Oh, wow.
Six-bedroom house, has two bathrooms and ranch-style, two-stall garage, 10,000-square-foot lot. You know, where else can you find that type of deal?
Now, on these deals, does it... When it comes to the price that you come up with to buy a foreclosed house, what comes into consideration there? I mean, how much is owed? You know, I mean, does the lender just want to get something out of the deal, or how does that usually work?
So usually they do have a list price that they put on it that's going to cover whatever they need to cover based on a market analysis that's done by the realtor who's listing it. So when you do see that price, and you may walk in and say, wow, that's overpriced, that's terrible, it usually isn't. It usually is priced by somebody who understands how to price a foreclosed. And then the flip side is that the bank is going to go by that expert's opinion. So, you know, if you're submitting an offer on a foreclosure, be serious about the offer if you really want it, because usually when you do get it, it can be a great deal. I have had people do foreclosures and then are able to flip them and then able to make, you know, a good amount of money because they're able to get something for a lot less. I think that the biggest opportunity with foreclosures coming up is that the mortgage forbearance and the federal government finally ended. So their banks are going to start the process of getting things foreclosed, I think, within the next couple months to a year. It does take a long time for the foreclosure process to actually happen and for homes to be listed. So from the point somebody stops actually making their payment to the point they actually have the home on the market could be anywhere from 9 months to a year.
Oh, okay.
Because somebody has to be properly served that they are, you know, in foreclosure. They need to be properly basically notified, and they need to be given a chance to make up their payments in a lot of cases too by the bank. And so that is a big process that people say, oh my gosh, the mortgage forbearance is ending. Well, yeah, it's ending. But now this process is just starting.
Yeah.
So what is going to be interesting is that we're at 402,000 homes on the market right now nationwide. I'm going to be interested to see what percentage of homes next year are going to be in this foreclosure bracket out of the amount of homes that we have.
You know, another thing I've heard of, too, is when a house is foreclosed on, and maybe you could answer this, I might be totally wrong, but when a house is foreclosed on, sometimes the people say, I'm not leaving yet. I'm going to squat for as long as I can and stay right here. Is that common?
In North Dakota, Minnesota, not so much. Usually people get out. I mean, they understand that they're going to be evicted. Mm-hmm. We, from my understanding, we don't really have any squatter's rights that pertain unless you actually have an ownership interest in the property. Usually would be the only question. And that happens sometimes, too, with foreclosures. You have one person who's supposed to be making the payment, and the other person assume they were, so they feel like they still keep the house. Well, at that point, that person still has the ability to make up the payments, you know? Okay. So, I mean, there's interesting things with that. But the other thing that I've helped clients with is what's called a short sale. And so this is if you are one of those sellers and you are upside down and you don't know what to do, right? You know you're behind on your payments. You know that you're probably going to get foreclosed on because there's no way you can make it up. What we can do is we can approach your bank and say, hey, if we list this for a certain price, whatever price they want or whatever they're satisfied with, could we submit a short sale paperwork and be able to sell this thing without having to go through the foreclosure process? Because banks generally do not want to foreclose.
Right, right. Now, if it does get all the way to the point of foreclosure, I would imagine that's probably got to do something to your credit score too. So these short sales would probably be the best bet.
Your short sale is probably your best bet if you want to get it off your credit the soonest, only because it's just less of a situation if you're willing to work with the bank and actually be able to move forward on the sale of a property. They don't want to have to hire a company that is going to have to go in and do all the repairs and things like that if there's a willing buyer right behind them willing to take up the house. So
I would imagine then foreclosures, if you can get in on buying any of these, they would make great investment properties.
Yep. There's some great foreclosures that can be great investments. Usually they're kind of unique sometimes too, and they're everywhere. They can be in the country, they can be in the, they can be in town, they can be anywhere. On the lake, they could be. So it's just something that get in touch with an agent and specifically ask for foreclosures, and they can really get you a list and get you the first insight on where to get those foreclosures, because those end up usually being a pretty good deal.
You know, I was doing some research on foreclosures and things, and a lot of it with taxes. People that haven't paid the taxes on the property, how does that work? Because I saw, it seemed to me, there was houses listed all over the country where you could pick up basically for what they owed on the taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, that happens too?
Yeah, there's some tax auctions that happen because people haven't paid their taxes on like their grandma's house in a small town in North Dakota, and they decided that they want to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't, they're not going to pay any property taxes or sell it because it's not really worth anything. So they just let it go back to the city or the county, and the county or the city will put it up for auction and sell it for whatever the tax balance is due or for whatever they're going to get for it. They may put it up for an actual auction and see what they can get above and beyond that too. But that's really interesting way to build equity too, is buying a place in a smaller town that may have really cheap property taxes, may have a really great deal on a nice size lot that you could be even just a simple garage up,
you know,
and have a place for a workshop or something like that.
Well, you see it all the time now. A lot of these small towns offering, you know, a free lot, tax-free for how many years, and all these incentives, and we'll even give you gift cards to the local gas station. So small town, a lot of people like moving out.
Yep, and, you know, these days with cars being what they are, it's an hour drive is not as bad as it used to be. You know, if you're going to drive an hour out of town, you just set your cruise control and go. And so for lots of people, too, who work remote or work via their car or work, you know, let's say at a job site, let's say that they don't even work in an office. What if you're a construction worker or a tradesman? You don't even work in an office.
Right.
You know, why does it matter if you live half an hour out of town if you're going to get a much better deal on a piece of property?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting to see how those foreclosures are going to pop up and how things are going to influence in the market in the next 6 months to probably a year.
All right. Busy the rest of the day, I take it?
Just running around. Client to client.
How does somebody get a hold of Berkshire Ben Olson if they want to use you as their realty expert?
701-318-2676 or propertyandclient.com.
And you will be back on Friday.
Yes, sir.
All right. There you go. That is your realty expert, Berkshire Ben Olson. And I tell you what, if you're going to buy a house from Ben Olson, or maybe trying to sell your house and you need a little remodeling or some tweaking done to it, get a hold of Executive Properties. They do all types of commercial and residential work. And they do everything from kitchens and tiles and cabinets to, well, concrete and building garages and all that stuff. No matter what, Executive Properties will take care of you. Get a hold of them, 701-330-1273, or go to executiveproperties.org. For the day, it's your Berkshire Hathaway bi-weekly podcast. Stay tuned. Your next one's coming up Friday morning at 10.